We would read verses 1 through 12. And again, this is his day. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when Herod heard the king," let me read that again. "And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He began to inquire of them where the Christ were to be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained for them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him.' And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him, and opened their treasures. They presented to him gifts of gold and of frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the Word of God. Worship is such a privilege. To think that we can worship every day of our lives and should worship. To think that we can meet together on the Lord's Day and we can worship as the people of God. What a blessing. Amen. But then to think that this day that we have set aside to commemorate and celebrate the birth of our Savior, what a blessing that the people of God can meet together today and worship. And I say to you this morning that my heart is filled with joy. The music just rings in my ears and in my heart, declaring the greatness of God and his grace in sending his Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. We are glad that you're here today. Will you join me now in prayer? Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at his word. Father, thank you so much for the great blessing, the great privilege of worship. And Father, we are so weak and we're so insufficient in offering what you truly deserve. And yet, God, we're reminded that through Jesus and through his coming, through his becoming a man, through his suffering, through his death, and through your work in our lives, that through faith, by your grace, we can now worship. Thank you, Father. And thank you that you give us this opportunity today to meet together as your people. As we open up the Holy Scriptures, God, may our hearts now be turned to you and what you would say to us today through this word, for you will truly speak. And you'll speak in this written word to us today by your Spirit. May we receive it with joy and gratitude and thankfulness. And God, may it be a receiving that will change us for your glory. We give you praise. Thank you for our Savior Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 My goal for the month of December has been that we together would know Jesus better, that we would know why Jesus came, and that we would know how we should respond to Jesus. And every passage we've looked at this month has been very familiar, and every passage will help us accomplish this goal. And I would say to you this morning that this is needed. It's needed because it's easy, far too easy for us to lose sight of Jesus, and even to lose sight of Jesus during this time that we celebrate his birth. Amen. Oh, we need help. We need encouragement. We need the help of God to focus our attention on Jesus. You know, folks, it's possible that the things of Christmas can actually dull our senses to the Christ of Christmas. And we don't want that to happen. We must guard ourselves from it. Now, we've looked at truth in the past few weeks from the Gospel of Luke, from the Gospel of John, from the Gospel of Mark. And now this morning our attention goes to the Gospel of Matthew. And it's a familiar record, familiar scripture of how the wise men from the east came to the child Jesus to worship him. And it's in this passage this morning that we see the very clear response to Jesus. See, our goal was to know him better. Our goal is to know why he came. Our goal is to know how we should respond to him. And this morning in this passage, we will see that response to Jesus. Jesus came. So how should we respond? What effect should it have on me and on you this morning? And if this is true, if this is real, that Jesus came, then surely it should make a difference in my life and your life. When we read this passage, I think it's very plain to see that the response to Jesus is worship. And even as we have worshiped this morning through the scripture, through the readings, through the music, that theme has come out: worship, worship, worship. There are five truths, at least five truths in this passage this morning that will help us worship Jesus. Let's look at the scripture before us now. The first truth is this: that Jesus is the Messiah and should be worshiped. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Matthew writes and he says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Look carefully at verse 2, because here's a statement I believe that summarizes this whole passage. Because the wise men ask this question. They say, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And so the record that we have before us this morning is the record of a king, a child who is king of the Jews. And notice that Matthew says, or the wise men say, Matthew records it, that he is born king of the Jews. He doesn't become a king, he is a king. And these magi, these wise men, have come seeking this child who is king. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, because this verse makes it abundantly clear who the wise men mean when they say king of the Jews. Because they tell Herod, they go to Herod, and then Herod asks some counsel from the religious leaders. Matthew says it this way in verse 4. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Where the Christ was to be born. See, these wise men were not looking for Herod. Herod had been proclaimed king of the Jews by the Romans 40 years earlier, but no one called Herod Messiah. These magi were looking for the king of the Jews, the Messiah, the anointed one, the long looked for God anointed ruler, the ruler who would overcome all other rule and who would bring in the end of history and establish the kingdom of God forever. That's Messiah. That's who the wise men were looking for. And folks, this is why Herod was troubled. This is why Jerusalem was troubled, and all the chief priests and all the scribes were gathered together. You see, the Magi were clear, and Herod understood that they were looking for Messiah. Now, we don't know where the wise men got their information. Well, they were wise men. They were learned men. They were educated men. They were men of books. They were a part of a special group of men in Persia, in that part of the world, who did these things. And Herod got their message. These men were not searching for a mere human successor for Herod, but they were searching for the king to end all kings. The King of Kings is who they were looking for. And that was the last thing that Herod was looking for. And so he took the wise men very serious. And he wants to know more. He asks questions. Jewish scribes, they take him to an Old Testament prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And notice how Matthew records it. Here are the words of those religious leaders. He says it in verse 6. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Now, they didn't quote Micah chapter 5 too precisely, but Herod got the point, and he asked where Messiah would be born. The religious leader said, "Bethlehem." This is what the prophet said, "Bethlehem." But I would say to you this morning that Herod should have asked more questions. He should have asked more questions about this one who was coming, or this one who had come. He should have asked not only where, but who is he? Who is the Messiah? In the same passage in the book of Micah, these religious leaders could have given more information to Herod. Herod could have asked for more, because in that same passage it says his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The passage would also say that he shall stand and feed his flock, and he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And so Micah prophesied and proclaimed that this king, this Messiah, this ruler is actually God himself. God himself. And his rule would not be limited to Israel, but notice, to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. And so we step back just for a moment, and we have to say to ourselves, this is why we worship Jesus. This is why we worship Him. He is God. He is Messiah. He is King of all the earth. And folks, this is why God the Son came, and this is what Christmas is all about. Consider now a second truth from this passage, familiar passage. Our response to Jesus is to worship Him. What's that look like? Notice that Jesus will be worshipped by all nations. Matthew's account does not take us to the stable, to the manger, to the shepherds. He moves ahead to emphasize the child as king, and a response to the child as king. And this response, he shows, is from a certain group of men. It's not Jewish men. It's foreigners. It's Gentiles. He says in verse 1, "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, This is important because it shows Matthew's purpose in writing from the very start. Matthew's purpose in writing this book is to declare that Jesus is the King, that Jesus is Messiah. And He is King not only over Israel, but of all the earth. And He begins His gospel with this truth that Jesus is the universal Messiah, the King of all the nations. And folks, we'll see in just a moment, He actually, as we look at the words of Jesus at the end of the book, the same truth is shared. The same truth. So here in our passage, the first worshipers here in this passage are astrologers, they're wise men, they're magi from Persia, not Israel, Gentiles, unclean, not of Abraham. But they would be the first of many from the nations who would worship Him. And when we think of the end of the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus Himself would connect the dots, He would bring these truths together, and Jesus would stand before His disciples after His death and resurrection, and He would give them this command, and He would say, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." All the nations. You see, the nations came to Him as a child, and we as His disciples will go to the nations. Go to the nations and proclaim Him and proclaim His truth. And this in itself was an answer to prophecy, because one of the repeated declarations about Messiah would be that the nations and the kings of the earth would come to Him. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 3 would say, "The Gentiles shall come to Your light and kings to the brightness of Your rising." You see, Jesus is that King. Jesus is that promise, not just for Israel, but for the whole world. And so, folks, this is why we worship Jesus. This is our response to Jesus. Jesus is King over all the nations. Notice a third truth in this familiar passage. God uses the universe to make Jesus known and worshiped. Go back to verse 2. So how did the Magi, how did these wise men know about the King of the Jews? Well, Matthew writes and he says, they saw His star in the east. They saw His star. That's amazing, isn't it? When you think about that, they saw His star. The Scripture says here, Matthew writes and says, they saw His star in the east and they came to Jerusalem to worship Him. And so it moves us then to step back and ask the question, well, how did they know that it was Christ's star? And how did the star go before them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? How did that happen? How did the star stand over the place where the child was? See, these are questions we would ask, but frankly, we'll not find the answers. We don't have them. Many have tried to explain it in a natural way. They've said, well, it was a comet, or it was a supernova, or it was just a miracle light. But frankly, the Scripture doesn't tell us. Matthew gives us no detail. But one thing we do know, the star is doing something it cannot do on its own. And it's guiding those eastern wise men to the Son of God, to Jesus, so that they can worship Him. And folks, there is only one who could accomplish this, and that is God. God did this. God is guiding these foreign astrologers to Jesus the Christ so that they can worship Him. And He's doing it by His universal might and His universal power. The same God, who caused the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man on earth, to establish a census that would bring Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem, is now, get this, influencing a star in space to get these Eastern wise men to worship the child who is Messiah and King. Only God can do that. And God did it. God did it. And folks, this is God's desire. This is God's purpose. His aim is that all nations would worship His Son. And that includes you and me and our families and our co-workers and our neighbors and our nation and the nations of this world. That's God's purpose. That's God's aim. Jesus Christ is to be known and worshiped by the whole world, and you and I are a part of that. And this is why we worship Jesus, because God, by His power and might, moves the universe so that His Son Jesus will be known and worshiped. God does that. There's a fourth truth. Familiar passage, a fourth truth that will move us to worship Jesus. Jesus troubles people who don't want to worship Him. Look at verse 3. Matthew writes and he says, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." So see, we ask ourselves, well, what does trouble have to do with worship? I mean, we don't usually associate trouble with worship. I want you to see in this passage, first of all, there are two kinds of people who don't want to worship Jesus. Two kinds of people who don't want to worship Jesus. First of all, there are indifferent people. These chief priests and scribes, they are given amazing news. These Eastern magi have come to worship Messiah. And folks, that means that Messiah is born. He's born. He's come. He's in Bethlehem. But look at this. You know the record. They do nothing. They do nothing. There is no response. They answer the question of Herod, and then they get back to business as usual. But Herod is troubled, and the city is troubled, and yet these religious leaders, folks, will not walk 5 miles to see the king, to see Messiah, to see God in human flesh. Think of the impact that they could have on others as religious leaders, and yet there is nothing. Why is that? They do not want to worship Him. They are indifferent. They are indifferent to His coming. They're indifferent to the person of the God-man, the Messiah, the Son of God. Notice also there are threatened people. Herod is deeply threatened by the news. And he's so afraid and he's so threatened that he schemes and he lies and he then commits mass murder to get rid of Jesus. You know, we think about it this morning and it never fails. These two kinds of people, indifferent people and threatened people, will bring trouble to those who want to worship Jesus. Amen. Jerusalem was troubled, verse 3. The wise men were troubled. They were warned by God in a dream about Herod, verse 12. Jesus and His mother and His stepfather were troubled. They had to flee from Herod to Egypt. And the families of Bethlehem were surely troubled because Herod killed all the children from 2 years old and younger to get rid of Messiah in His plan. What that tells us is, folks, is that worshiping Jesus is not often easy. Sometimes it can be hard and difficult with great opposition and great sorrow. And so this should cause us this morning, even as we think about this truth, it should cause us to ask, well, where do I fit in this? Am I indifferent? Am I threatened? Am I suffering because of those who don't want to worship Jesus? There's a fifth truth. Notice that worshiping Jesus is joyful submission with sacrifice. So how did these wise men worship? Oh, we have much we can learn from these wise men. Their worship will teach us how to worship. Notice first that they submitted to Jesus' authority. So true worship recognizes authority. And they recognized Him as King, verse 2. They fell down and they bowed before Him, verse 11. Keep in mind now that these are men, wise men, traveled men, important men, who bow down before this child, Jesus. And by this action, they were saying to Him, "You are high and we are low." Do you want to understand what true worship is? It's when we come into the presence of God and we say, "You are high and we are low." That's worship. That's worship. "You are worthy and we are not." We are not. Our worship should say that. Notice also, they were joyful. Verse 10. Matthew says it this way. He says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. If we would put that in a statement, it would be like this. They rejoiced with joy and joy and more joy. In other words, they were joyful. They were glad. And why? Because they were on their way to see Messiah, and they were almost there, and they were filled with joy. Folks, true worship is not only ascribing authority and worth, but it's doing it joyfully. It's doing it with great joy, and it's to be done joyfully because Christ is so desirable. And being near Him brings the greatest joy. Oh, you see, we have an opportunity to look at ourselves this morning, don't we? How do we come to worship? How do we worship? Do we grumble? Do we complain? Do we look at the times? Do we look at how we prepare? Do we look at all those things and we lose our joy? And yet these wise men who had traveled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles on camel. Have you ever ridden a camel? I haven't, but it couldn't have been a pleasurable trip. And yet when they found out where the child was, they were joyful, full of joy. It's their joy in our worship. Notice also worship involves sacrificial gifts, verse 11. It's ascribing authority and worth with great joy with sacrificial gifts. And these gifts are not bribes. These gifts are not payments. These gifts are not something needed by the king, but these were gifts of great worth. And these gifts were their way of saying, "I have come for you, for yourself, not things. And I'll give these things up to get more of you, because you are my treasure, not these things, and I willingly give them to get more of you." You see, the greater sacrifice, the greater evidence that the one we worship is all we need and all we want. And folks, that's why we give our time, our labor, our resources. That's why we give sacrificially. Giving is worship. Fourth, notice that worship will change us. Verse 12. You know, these men were not the same as when they came. They didn't return to Herod. They departed to their country another way. These men were different now. They were changed. They submitted to him, to Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. They honored Jesus. And they were changed men. And folks, when we truly come into the presence of Jesus in joyful submission, in worship, we too will be different. And we'll live our lives in a different way, a changed way, a way that is transformed. And folks, that is the real evidence of worshiping Jesus and knowing Jesus and being with Jesus. It's the change that takes place in our lives. Our lives will be changed when we know Him and worship Him, love Him, desire Him. Jesus becomes our purpose, our joy, our goal, our satisfaction, and our treasure. It's a familiar text. There's much more. There's much more in the text. We've just touched on certain things, certain truths. But may God take this very familiar text this morning and awaken in us a greater desire for Jesus. Why? Because He is Messiah. And all nations will bow before Him. And God will use the universe to help us know Him and worship Him. And it won't be easy. There may be trouble because of it, but we can worship Jesus in joyful submission and sacrifice. And may God, on this day, every hour, every moment, open our hearts all the time to worship and cherish and love and be satisfied with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's what Christmas is all about. Amen. And brothers and sisters, that's what being a Christian is all about. It's about Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for this time and Your word this morning. Thank You just for this blessed time of worship. Thank You that You've placed within our desire to be here, Father, to ascribe to You glory, greatness by Your grace. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for God the Son who became a man. Thank You that He became a man not just to become a man, but for a purpose. Father, thank You for Your purpose. A purpose that would allow Him to take on humanity and live a life of humanity and suffer and die in our place. And to take the judgment that we deserved, Father, upon Himself and to give His life to pay the debt of our sins, to remove Your wrath, to give us salvation and eternal life. Thank You for Jesus. And God, may we continually draw closer and closer to our great Savior. And may worship be like the air that we breathe every moment, all the time. Draw us nearer and nearer to You through Jesus, our Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.